Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, okay, great, it worked. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler. I was supposed to have Mark Grimm, my guest, right now on this morning, but there were technical difficulties and everything seems to be working fine. So I'm on the line with Mark Grimm. So, Mark, how are you?
Hello, Cynthia. Great to be on the County Ledge Spotlight on Focus on Albany.
Well, thank you. So you had a county legislative meeting a couple of days ago. So first of all, let's talk about the modernization. I know we discussed this before, and it was passed. Was it passed unanimously?
Almost. 34-4 was the vote, so I'm very pleased. As you know, Legislator Lynn Lukakis and myself are co-chairs of the Modernization Task Force, and our role was to study all this stuff and then come back with a good idea, plan for making the legislature much more citizen-friendly, and we put a lot of work into it, and so did staff, and I really appreciate their contributions. John Wemple's the IT director for the county, and then the finance people were very helpful, Mike McLaughlin from Dan McCoy's office. So it was a lot of work, and I think we really put together a very strong package. And when you see that kind of confirmation of 34-4, then you feel like you really did a good job, and I'm looking forward to what's going to happen.
Now, you're only one layer of government. There's the local layer, which is in the cities and towns. There's the county legislative layer, and then there's the state, you know, which is kind of local. So would you say that all three layers of government are up to snuff in what you're doing, what you guys are doing in the county legislature?
No. The kind of stuff that we're doing should have been done a long time ago, and everybody should be doing it. It's very hard to follow government, even if you're a legislator. How do you track once something gets introduced, then it goes to committee and it can stall in committee. So you really need the ability to see the resolution, read it, and it gets changed. They get gets edited, gets modified based on changes. And sometimes, for example, something lays in committee, the sponsor can leave it there. It's up to the sponsor to speak to the thing and try to move it. And it's not easy to follow government, and we can do a lot more to make that, because I think that's one reason why people don't pay that much of attention. They can't follow it anyway. So what we're really going to do is to allow online access to all of our documents, or nearly all of them, all our proposals anyway, and then give people a chance to see what our voting record was and our attendance record, all that stuff. I think it's really great, and every government should be doing it, but there's a lot of governments that aren't, and hopefully this will spur other government entities to do the same thing.
Now, what brought this up? Did you guys look at other municipalities that are doing this, or how did this idea come to fruition?
Well, I'm a communications person. I've been in this the business now for 40 years, and I've always embraced technology, even though I really never had any computer classes as a kid. We hardly had computers. Computers, as you know, are kind of a new thing. They were just coming out when I was in college. But I've always been big in this. Since the moment I got in the legislature, I tried to move a modernization plan almost the first couple of months I was in the legislature 2.5 years ago. But there wasn't a willingness to do it. The old leadership really did not want to embrace this modernization idea. And then when we got the new chairman in there in January, Andrew Joyce, he was really serious about it. And he named Lynn Lukakis and myself co-chairs of this modernization committee. So he was very helpful. His leadership was very helpful to making this happen. So, all the elements came together, and I think, we're going to make this happen, but it'll be a bumpy ride in the beginning because, anytime you embrace new technology, it's a little bumpy. So I'm expecting that. But I think in the end, we're going to work out the kinks, and it's really going to be great.
Now, you and Lynn are going to spearhead this effort. What are some of the things that you guys will be focusing on?
Okay, say you're interested in paid sick leave. All right, you can go
right.
to the from any computer, you can go to the county website and find the agendas and stuff and just type in paid sick leave, and that will produce what's going on in paid sick leave. What's the resolution? Where is it in the process? Is it in the committee? What committee? If it goes to the floor, what was the vote? If it's been resolved, has it been signed, and is it now a law? So this ability to track something right from the beginning of the first proposal is what we call RLAs. These are legislative proposals. That's when they start and they go to the full legislature, and then it's referred to the appropriate committee, depending on the content of what's being proposed. So, right now, you'd have to be sort of awful knowledgeable in these kind of things to follow this stuff. But imagine with a click or two being able to locate this stuff. Or if you wanted to know what my voting record is, you could just search legislators' voting records. So that's plus we're going to eliminate so much paper. I mean, in the Finance Committee meetings, my goodness, we have thousands of sheets of paper that we use every month. And these are huge packets that are circulated to staff. And it's not just members, it's staff and anyone who really is interested. So we're going to cut down. We're going to save a lot of trees with this resolution, that's for sure.
I was going to say that. Well, that's good. So that makes you a tree hugger, doesn't it, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Mark, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
It makes you a tree hugger.
Well, I love trees. They're a wonderful thing. They take in all that CO2
right,
and
they
give us oxygen.
Especially in the summertime when you can sit under a tree when it's shady.
I think
right?
that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. So we can wax poetic
okay.
about trees.
So there were other two issues that were mentioned at the county meeting, which were voted down, and that's the pawn shop one. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is a proposal by Legislator Gary Domalowicz. The intent, of course, is very admirable. We know that people steal things, steal jewelry, steal other coins, that kind of stuff, and then they try to unload them. You know, they go to a pawn shop or someplace else or do it online. But this proposal went way too far. It was much broader than it really should have been. It not only included pawn shop operators, but also secondhand dealers. And the secondhand dealers were defined as anyone who engages in the buying and selling merchandise. And so this applied to just about anybody on eBay who sold 5 items a year. And we thought this was way too broad. And it also required anyone who went into a pawn shop, they're required to give their name, address, and even their physical description and make that available to the law enforcement. So there was some real Fourth Amendment right to privacy concerns about that. So there were some big holes in the legislation, in my view. And we had a very spirited debate. And in the end, there were 20 no's and 18 yeses, so it was defeated by 2 votes.
Wow. Wow. So when it's that close, do you guys hold your breath and say, I hope, you know, my side wins?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's very dramatic, the moment, because you argue, and then the chairman says, okay, it's time to vote. And, you know, there's a roll call on all laws, there's differences between laws and resolutions. Laws are a little more permanent. But you go one by one. And at the end, I don't know, you know, unless, the clerk's keeping track, but I wait till they announce it. So it's very dramatic between the time you finish voting and they're counting them up, you know, boom, 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 boom. Of course, that's another thing we're going to have with our modernization. We're going to have electronic voting, so you can actually see the votes on the screen, and, of course, they'll be electronically tabulated. So we won't have to pause and wait for the clerk to manually count every vote, which is what they do now. They just go through the entire roll call and count. And hopefully they don't make
now,
a mistake. It's a little bit of a pressure on the clerk. You certainly want to screw up a close vote.
When will that be in effect? where things will be done electronically.
Well, I saw the chairman that mentioned that he was hoping to do it by September, but I don't have a specific time and date because, you know, this is, there's a lot. For example, you have to input all of this, you know, so, you know, you know the expression garbage in, garbage out. You really have to input some really good material in there and do it in the right way. So, or the best software in the world can't really help you. And we have to train staff in this new software. We have to train the members and get all the equipment. So this is a big undertaking. So it's going to take a while, but you know, I don't want to rush things. I want to make sure we get it right. And I'm sure the first couple of meetings will be a little shaky, but when everybody gets comfortable with all the technology, and then I think we have to advertise this. We have to let people know how to use this material and how to use this technology to their advantage. So there's a lot of work still left to be done, Cynthia, but we're certainly headed in the right direction. I think this is one of the real exciting developments in the legislature since I've been there.
Wow, that's great. So another issue that was revisited was the styrofoam ban. What's going on with that?
Well, it's talk about controversy. The legislature tried to ban styrofoam. And now it did, you know, before I got there, it did in the larger change. But for small retailers, they tried to ban it last year. And the vote, we defeated it. And I was against it because, you know, styrofoam's cheap. And, you know, homeless shelters don't have Tiffany China. So there are a lot of nonprofits. There was one in particular that said by their calculations, they'd have to spend $18,000 more a year if they had to get rid of styrofoam for another alternative. You know, because styrofoam's biggest benefit is it's very inexpensive. So I'll concede that styrofoam is a legitimate environmental concern, but also too is cost on small businesses and on nonprofits, you know, who rely on styrofoam. And this thing, it would have even applied to little leagues, for heaven's sakes, and things like that. So if they had, you know, a food permit. So that went down, but there's still there's a lot of activist legislators who are very, very dedicated to the idea of banning styrofoam, and I appreciate their passion and their commitment on this. Our plan from the Republican leader in the legislature is Frank Moriello, and he had a plan to initiate a pilot polystyrene recycling program. He said, okay, let's try to work together on this and have a recycle program. And he's made a couple of trips to Madison County where they actually have a recycling styrofoam plant. In fact, he took Dan McCoy out with them, and those guys went out there and saw it, and they were pretty impressed. So Frank's plan was just to have the county executive initiate a feasibility study on how we might be able to do this. And I felt, geez, at least we should look into it. But there are a lot of people who are just totally against the styrofoam. And they won the day the other night. The resolution to initiate a pilot study for recycling in polystyrene was defeated 21-18. So we had a couple of close votes the other night and a lot of spirited debate, which is what you should get out of your legislature.
It's my belief, I might be wrong, but can styrofoam be used in the building trades? Can it be used for, like, building stuff? And if so, will this issue be looked at again?
Well, did you say that? Because I think it's Japan. I was researching this heavily back when we had the big debate on it. And there's styrofoam houses. And they're like little, they look like igloos, but they're styrofoam. There's there's a lot of them. And I think it was Japan was the country, you know, because they have, you know, a lot of land use, you know, their land is limited there. But they work very well in terms of insulation, in terms of fire. So, you know, yeah, styrofoam, there's a lot of purposes for styrofoam. And keep in mind, this idea of eliminating cups and plates and stuff, that's like, I think, 2% of the styrofoam market. The big styrofoam is, you know, when you get something in the mail or you get a new TV set or something, you know, it's packed in all that styrofoam. And that's the stuff that we really want to recycle. Because, you know, right now it is taking up space in landfills, and that shouldn't be. And ultimately you want to have a situation where the packaging, the original packaging, is improves. But the reality is, Niall, that polystyrene is very inexpensive and very useful, and you're really talking about a major cost to many organizations if you ban it completely. And that's why I can't go for it. Now, although we all should be working, and I thought looking into recycling was a good idea, obviously.
Uh-huh.
But that's not going to happen based on the vote.
I'm thinking in terms of insulation when a construction company builds houses and stuff. That might be a good thing. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think, styrofoam has a lot of uses, and it's inexpensive. That's why it's so popular. It's made with a lot of air, but it's also light, and that's sometimes hard to ground up. And we hear these stories about how the particles of styrene have drifted into the environment. So, it's a legitimate issue on the environmental end. So I think it's not an easy resolution to this problem, but a total ban, in my view, is not the answer. But on the other hand, I think we're all committed to trying to improve the situation the best we can.
Now, were those the only three issues that were brought up?
There's a full agenda. Yeah, there's a full agenda, but they're the three that were controversial. Well, there's another item, actually. It's interesting. There was a resolution for a public hearing for a proposal to reduce the number of legislators in the legislature. Now, this has come up time and time again in the past. And there was some debate on this, and which is very unusual. It's rare that we debate whether to have a public hearing or not. In other words, let the public have a say. But there were some no votes on this because people are really there's some strong opposition to the idea of reducing the number of legislators from legislators, as you might understand that. That vote, I think, was 32-7 in favor of the – ultimately, even some people opposed to the idea still voted to have a public hearing because it's kind of hard to say, I don't want to hear from the public kind of thing. Now, the ones that voted no felt like, this issue has come up before and we shouldn't be revisiting again, which is, that's a legitimate point of view. But I just felt, that we should have a public hearing and hear this out again because, the legislature changes a little bit too. So, and we did revisit, pawn shop law, that's come up before too. So this is not the first time that's been brought up. So there's no reason why we can't revisit the legislature. And I'm four down. I think 39 legislators is too many. And I think, we're asking government to kind of control their cost. Well, why don't we start with ourselves and have fewer members of the legislature?
So how many members would you be in favor of?
Well, I proposed when I ran for 13. But, I understand that's not going to happen. I would cut it by two-thirds. But there's proposals out there that varied a little bit. Some are 25, 29. But I think if we are going to reduce it, it'll probably be in that area. Because you have to get enough votes to pass it.
And right.
I don't think there's a lot of votes for my proposal. But I feel like we could run the legislature in a very efficient manner with just 13 legislators.
Okay. Let's say that it passed and there were 13 legislators and you got reelected as one of those 13. How much bigger would your district be? And would you be happy with the pay that you're getting now if your district was much larger?
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, the research, a lot of things are some, you have different a bigger constituency. And you might have to think about, constituent service, because you want to make sure you're serving your constituents well. But the research, and the debates and that kind of thing wouldn't change in terms of the issues. For 13, you just divide that by 300,000. So that comes to, I'd have to do the math again, but the 300,000 people divided by 13, and that would be your answer. It's about, I think, around 25,000. And I think that's a reasonable-sized district. But, I haven't proposed the 13 because I know there aren't enough votes there for it. But I do support the proposals that are out there that would cut us back a little bit, because I think that's progress.
In the event that it was scaled down, there would be legislators that would be primary and other legislators, right?
Yes. I mean, that's one of the things that legislators fear, is having to run, you know, you would have to run against other legislators. So it would be a battle of incumbents, and so nobody's seat would be safe. And that's
right.
Something that that makes legislators very anxious, because, you know, Cynthia, in many cases, legislators have no opponent or a token opponent. And
Right. Typically
there aren't that many really contested races in any given year. So that would change the dynamic completely. Now, there's different ways of doing it. We could do it so when people retire, we reduce the number, you know, and this would be gradual. And this wouldn't be until after the 2020 census, of course. That's when you redistrict. The reason you have to redistrict every 10 years is because the population changes, and there may be more or fewer people in your district. And, you know, we have a rule, one man, one vote. The districts have to be equal within a certain percentage. So that's why you have to redraw the lines every 10 years. And redrawing the lines is very it's a very touchy issue, because legislators are directly affected, and so are their chances of reelection.
Wasn't there a big controversy after the census of 2010 in the county legislature?
Oh, yes. The minority members have been very upset, and there's been multiple lawsuits about how the districts were cut. So, you know, hopefully on the next census we can avoid those lawsuits. The lawsuits were that the minority representation and the way they were cut wasn't fair. So hopefully we can avoid that. And there's a proposal for redistricting that's out there too, although we haven't acted on that yet. And the truth is, they really kind of go hand in hand. Cynthia, if you're going to reduce the legislature, you have to have some idea how you're going to cut the districts, it seems to me. Because if they're not redistricting in a fair way, then then you're really talking about something that's very problematic.
Mm-hmm. So I was aware of the fact that one of the issues that was brought up was conversion therapy. Was that brought up at the last meeting?
That's still in committee. Okay.
Okay.
It passed one committee, but it wasn't raised in the, it was tabled in another. So that's likely going to pass both committees this month, and that will likely be on the full legislature meeting next month.
Okay, great. So what's in store over the next few weeks for the county legislature?
Well, of course, the status of paid sick leave will be very important, and so too will the sprinklers. There's a proposal for sprinklers to make it mandatory in every new home in Albany County, which is highly controversial because according to estimates I've gotten from builders, that would add anywhere from $10,000 to $14,000 for a sprinkler system. And you can imagine sitting down and closing, say, I'm all ready to buy my home, by the way, you have to have a new sprinkler system for $12,000. You know, so I think that's obviously a controversial proposal. And those are both headed for committee. So those are a couple of things to keep an eye out in the coming month.
I know the sick leave has been pretty controversial. And I had did a show with Doug Bullock.
Yes,
and
I
talked about, you know, the fact that you and other people are not too thrilled that it's mandated. And his response was that, you know, a lot of stuff in government has been mandated and has been successful. What's your feeling about that?
Yeah, well, that's his perspective, which he's entitled to. But yeah, it's mandated. There are too many mandates. That's my point. We have too many mandates we place on businesses, and as a result, we don't have an economy in New York that we should have. The taxes are too high. The regulations are really absurd. And if we had fewer mandates, in many cases, we would have a stronger economy, and that stronger economy would lift all boats. So that's the problem with government. It imposes too many mandates, and it tells governments what they have to do, which is what the paid sick leave bill does. Paid sick leave is a good thing. But what this bill does, it tells employers exactly what their benefit package has to be, basically, because they're requiring a certain number of sick leave days, and it has to roll over. You have to give part-timers paid sick leave. These are the kinds of burdens and impositions that are just not appropriate, and we should do everything we can to resist them.
Okay, let's say that the sick leave amendment was passed, but there were no stipulations. One employer can give 2 a year. Another employer can give 5 a year. Another employer could give 10. It should be a set number. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're going to require paid sick leave, you have to have some number of what the requirement is. In this case of this bill, it's 9 paid sick leave days a year for employers with 10 or more employees. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. But by the way, there may be employers want to do that. You know, the fact of the matter is employers care about the employees, and they want to take care of them because their companies and their nonprofits rely on them. By the way, nonprofits are really upset by this. You know, David Brown, who's the head of the entire Capital District YMCA region, said this would cost them $500,000 in the first year bill went through. That's money that's going to take away from all their other things that they're doing to help, in many cases, disadvantaged kids. With the Y. The Y does a lot of things that are helpful, you know, to folks that need the help the most. And obviously a start, she said it's likely they'd have to offer this benefit to all the YMCAs in the other counties because it'd be kind of hard to have, you know, a paid sick leave program for one group in one county and not for the others. So there are a lot of problems with this bill that people aren't fully aware of. And that's one reason why I like being on the show, because we get to explain our side of things. And the business community has been very active in imposing this. And so too have a lot of nonprofits, including someone who runs a homeless shelter, saying, look, we serve 450 homeless people a year, and we're just getting by. This is really going to be hard for us to continue to serve people that need us the most. And that's really a message that needs to get out there.
So, Mark, we'll talk again next month.
Absolutely.
I enjoy our conversations. They're enlightening and they're fun. So imposing.
That's a pretty good combination, isn't it, Cynthia?
Hey, you know what? If it works, go for it, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting, Cynthia. One of the things that sometimes politics get too personal. People, they get mad at each other and they make it personal. And you really can't. I mean, we have a very eclectic legislature, and we have people from all walks of life and with very different constituencies, and we sometimes fight like cats and dogs, but at the end of the night, that's it. You know, you vote and then, you know, you go on to the next thing. And that's why, you know, these kinds of discussions that we're having, they're both, I think, insightful, but they're also, they can be a little bit fun, and I'm having fun in the legislature. We have a lot of unique personalities, and at the same time, we have a chance to make a difference for our constituents, and I believe I'm making a difference.
That's terrific. You have to go in with that attitude. You've been listening to County-Led Spotlight on Focus on Albany with Mark Grimm. And Mark, what's your district? What's your number?
District 29, which is the Carmen Road and Western Avenue area of Gilderland.
Okay. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Mark, it's always terrific talking to you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We're going to be doing another conversation after the next County Legislative Meeting. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Thank you.